Marcus, I'm going to pause this. I don't know if y'all sense it. Maybe you don't, maybe you do. But I've heard about acceptance my whole life. But Harold, I felt an acceptance that has moved into this room, and it's an anointing. There is something. I sensed it flow through you. I've heard you speak many times, and you're brilliant with scriptures. But I felt something move into this room that has been totally, totally different. There's a whole different atmosphere than there was this morning. And I don't want to... being prophetic just means you acknowledge the obvious. But there was just something here. We so appreciate you letting that flow through us, flow through you. And man, that was a very powerful word. And we just want to continue in that flow. And Marcus...
Thank you, Dr. Lovelace. Dr. Lovelace, for being who you are. Yes. I want to make an early apology for having to miss Grady tomorrow. I always love listening to his keen sense of humor, his dry sense of humor, as he so eloquently puts us all in our place. And he's a generous fellow. Really is a benevolent guy in heart and spirit, and I do love that about him. It's been really rich being with you all. I don't have any CDs with me. Most of you have, I think most of you here may have my music anyway, but if you don't, Kathy will be more than happy to take an order and a payment, and we'll get a CD shipped to you. She'll take all your information, she'll get that to me. I'm going to have to get back on the road after I'm done. Close your eyes with me. I'm thankful now for each one who is here with me. The spirit of community and love and trust. It's a good day to be alive, to be in this moment. To know goodness and to know peace. To know forgiveness. To know the hope of possibilities, the blessed hope of possibilities. We are beginning again. I want you to listen really closely. As you sit there quietly, you've given yourself permission to live through this moment and to continue on to the next moment. You've done this. This moment is quite peculiar. It's extraordinary even. It's beyond our own fathoming. But what makes this moment so quintessentially intriguing is that this moment has never been before. This moment is brand new. This moment is brand new. Your choice has made it so. And all of our moments are exactly this way. You've never been here before, and there is no sense in requiring yourself to live in the past or relishing in the pain or joy of a past event. You have not lived through a pain that remained beyond your power to keep it going. Neither have you lavished in a joy which paralyzes the ability to exceed it. Freedom lives beyond your grandest idea, and love lives beyond comparison. Be brand new. Take no prisoners. Hold no one captive to your known ideas, which are only evidenced in your past. If you have a lover, call it done and start it over. If you have a friend, let them go and begin again. And if you have a life, die already and be born again. I heard earlier Mark make a statement, something to the fact that he doesn't know who God is, or he may not understand who God is. You can look at me if you want. You can keep your eyes closed or you can open them. Earlier I said, I may not be all of what God is, but all of me can be what God is. It's a tremendous responsibility to live in this moment, recognizing that this moment is brand new. It's never lived before. It's never been tested. Not this moment. I would challenge either one of us in this room to determine for any of us exactly what is the fullness of this moment. We just don't know. Prophetically speaking, every moment is a designated fullness of time. If we look at the prophets of old, from Isaiah to Nostradamus, we see people speaking about a future in moments that lived way beyond their ability to live them out. And some of those things they didn't understand. But even in God's promise and our promise to ourselves, we seldom ever know each specific event that will have to occur for us to understand or to walk in a fulfilled desire. This is a challenge for us, and we become awfully frustrated sometimes. And personally, I've lived the last 2 to 3 months in utter trepidation, just pain and turmoil. Holding on to ideas about my past, holding on to ideas about my present moment, holding on to ideas about love and friendship and relationship. Fighting tremendously to keep a beautiful moment intact. And you know, that's a challenge. You find an experience that's so beautiful, that's so wonderful. You want to cherish it. You want to sanction it. You want to enshrine it. You want to worship it. It's a moment that's been so transfiguring that you think it is supposed to last forever. Yet there's something that arrests you in a God consciousness that says, stop. My intention is not to keep you here. It's a brand new moment. It's a brand new day. And so while we are living to love and to understand the expression of love, and even admitting that we don't understand fully what God is, I don't understand fully what God is. I don't understand even fully who I am.
Yes.
That's right.
But what I can accept is that God may continuously, or that I may even continuously, live beyond my ability to fathom an idea of myself. Mm-hmm. And this is what gives me permission to die already and be born again. It's what gives life to the expression, I die daily. It's what gives life to the expression, be transformed or be renewed or changed in your mind by the renewing of your mind. It's a love that surpasses our understanding. It's a love that lives beyond any experience. It lives beyond your grandest idea. God does. Love does. You do. And as I'm living in this moment, and I meant to start, you have to tell me what my time is, because I meant to start my timer and I didn't.
Okay.
As I'm living in this moment, living almost on the other side of pain, on the other side of love, brand new love, or brand new loves and brand new lovers and brand new friends, and I accept the onus to claim myself in the divine flow and in the divine fold. And while I may not know all of what God is, what I'm learning is that God desires to show up and show me something new every time I walk into the space of someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, if I am desirous to know what God is, if I am interested in knowing what love is, it asks me to show up and to be in the space and the place of you, and to reach for beauty inside of you. To reach for that part of you that you may not know exists, and I may not know exists, but to reach for the potential of a moment that has not yet happened. This is a type of God in awareness. It's an undiscovered truth. It's an undiscovered love that lives beyond what you can ask. It lives beyond what you can think. This type of truth and divinity and understanding and love exceeds even beyond abundance what you can even ask.
Amen.
Or what you can think. Can you formulate the question? Can you conceptualize in your mind any idea? Can you fantasize about something, anything, as beautiful as it is? And can you realize that this infinite, infinitesimal, this ad infinitum truth lives even beyond that? Yet, in our frustration, in our pain, we're agonizing because we are reaching to hold infinity captive. We are trying to make eternity subject to time. We're trying to make divinity subject to our humanity. We're trying to make our future subject to our past. We're trying to make our old ideas remain sovereign over any developing perspective, any developing creation. And we want to know what sovereignty is. Sovereignty is not even a matter of intention. It's a matter of indisputable, immutable reality. It is that thing that cannot be denied. It cannot be threatened. When we say words and phrases like the sovereign will of God, it's not that God's will or God's intention is sovereign, in that what God is reflecting upon is sovereign. What is sovereign is that there is a will that's functioning in God, and that will, that ability to will, is unthreatened. That ability to create is a non-negotiable. This is what's meant by God cannot lie, God cannot hope in vain. The fact that God is God, whatever God is, however God is, including you as God, you cannot walk into a moment with a vain intention. And what we've done for so long, we have been so oblivious and so unaware of our intentions that we are creating things unconsciously and becoming frustrated because we don't like what's showing up in our space. And we're projecting onto people and ideas that they have done something to us. It's not to suggest that we are not creating this thing together, for whatever you create by yourself, you don't create anything by yourself. We create it all together. But we're not fully responsible for even understanding the function of this grace and this ministry of the Spirit, or these manifestations of the Spirit, or these presentations of Spirit and life and wholeness. And our ancient text, the guy that we refer to so much, Paul, as he's giving us instructions on how to be spiritually mature, and he talks about this notion of praying in the Spirit and praying in unknown tongues. And he tells us that when a person prays in the Spirit, when they pray according to Spirit, they pray not what is the will of man, but they pray what is the will of God. And then he gives us a very basic instruction that's just utilitarian. It's not deep, it's not mystical, it's quite practical. He says, if you're going to pray in spirit, pray that you may interpret. Why? What's reasonable about interpreting the language of spirit? Because if what you are doing is unconsciously moving in the statement and the sovereignty of God, and you don't know what you're praying about, then you don't necessarily know when it shows up. So many of us are praying blindly. We have adopted doctrine and dogma and ideas and revelations without an understanding, without an awareness. And when the truth, the sovereign will shows up, we are frustrated and we are full of anxiety. We are full of insanity because we are not understanding. The old sage proverb, wisdom is principle, so get it. But in everything you get an understanding. But that understanding sometimes escapes us because we've been told that we can't understand. But that's not true. You may not be able to understand it all at the same time, but you can understand more than what you did. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to understand everything at the same time, but you can understand more than what you did. And this is the frustration of the era that we live in, the time we live in. I was talking to Nicole earlier about the whole notion of how we are, I believe that we are living as a generation that's become more microscopic in our consciousness. And we're not necessarily creating the truth because you can't create it, but because we're living microscopically, we are able to now magnify the truth to a different degree of strength and power, so we see more of what's been hidden. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, it's a reasonable offering. It's a reasonable plea. It's a reasonable inclination. Hey, help me see this God more visibly.
Yes.
Put it under the microscope. See something that's always been there, but you've not seen. And so we're living in a day, in an era, where we are developing people, children, our youth, technology. We are irrevocably creating a people who have an innate ability to see more into things than we have been able to see in the past. And it's frustrating the guardians. It's frustrating the gatekeepers. Because we are now exempt. We have exempt the young people or the youthful people from having to necessarily go through the certain disciplines or certain patterns and educational matriculations, because now they can see it a lot quicker than we can. They don't have to go through the Sunday school. My cousins make fun of me, and I gotta get out of here because my time is up.
So it's supposed to be 8:20. We're 10 minutes ahead. Are we 10 minutes ahead. You gonna blame me for that?
They seem to be engrossed. Go ahead on.
I'll be done with it. I was in Atlanta just last couple weekends ago. And I come from a family that's a church infested family. It's infested. And so I was slated to go to church the next morning, and I didn't really want to go to church the next morning. And so they asked me, Mark, would you go to Sunday school? And one of my cousins spoke up and said, no, Marcus ain't going to Sunday school because Marcus graduated from Sunday school. That's what I used to tell them. I said, I graduated from Sunday school. And so, but you know, it's preposterous. And they look at me, and people look at me like, the nerve of you to say you graduated from Sunday school. They're like, the nerve of you to not to let somebody be able to graduate from Sunday school. We're stuck. We don't believe we can ascend. We don't believe we can live beyond our idea of God, our idea of Christianity. We think if we don't call it Christianity, it's not Christianity. But God is never about the language. We use language to be sure. I'm using it right now. I love the language. I think the language is feeble. but I do love the language. I try to understand the language so that I can use it efficiently and effectively. But we are not Christians because we don't call ourselves a Christian. By this shall all men know that you are really a disciple of the Master's mind. This is the test. This is the evidence. And this is the only evidence. If you want to know who has the Master's discipline, it's those who shall love one for another. The mastery of love is no small feat. It is more than a notion, and difficult to have mastered by those who are faint at heart. The mastery of love, we don't have to despise or diminish anyone that shows up with authentic representations of love.
Yes.
They don't have to claim who they are. They don't have to show up as Jesus. The book I'm writing right now is a book called Replacing Jesus. I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble when I write it or when I put it out there. But we have to get to a place where we understand that if I show up as God, then I am in a sovereign moment. It doesn't matter what I call it, what I call me. I'm in a sovereign moment. But the test of this reconciliation and this trust and this love fest and this love affair we have has to do with our ability to show up in any given moment with an intention toward God.
Yes.
Recognizing that God is extended in its creation. And I am here to see more of God whenever I walk into the space of a breathing entity or any new thing. God is all around me. It's one of the things that's on our brochure as we come into the life exchange. God is all around you. Let us help you see it. I love you guys so much.
Don't take off yet. I want to respond to something. We got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Mark was in our conversationalist, so just stay right there. There was a couple of things, and it kind of connects. Harold, a lot of times we have conversations, and Harold said some things to me recently about the word darkness. You know, the word darkness in the Old Testament says God dwells in darkness. To God, there's no difference between dark and light. And I was reading in the Message Bible, and I love it. It says, dark isn't dark to you. But we've been talking about the word hidden. And I went to Eddie B., who is a Hebrew scholar, works with John Gavazzoni and Jonathan Mitchell. And I asked him, I said, what is the definition there in Hebrew when it talks about darkness? And he said, it's hide. God has hidden things, not from us, but for us. And I began to think of that. And then when you come up there, what I heard was that there's a new dimension or a dimension of paradigm about permission. That we've really not understood the word permission because we have so surrounded ourselves with this distorted view. And the other thing I heard is that love surpasses all our understanding. And then the word intention, the undisputable, unchanging reality. I like this. God excels our idea of abundance. But then as he came over, he was talking about understanding. The word understanding is not the arrangement of facts. It is the Hebrew word that means an insight. In Greek, it's the ability to comprehend. It's really reframing your world. It's understanding that this person's not doing what they're doing because of something out here, but because of that they're going through. And then I'll make one more statement. It says, you mentioned the sovereign moment. I believe in Greek that's what the word kairos is. We all have those moments when we step into that place. You know, it's like Michael Jordan on the court. There's a place you get into, a zone that you cannot miss. We are, you mentioned macro and micro. I have a good friend named Barbara Simons. And she makes a statement all the time. She said, we think we're the micro observing the macro. But really, the God in us is the macro observing the micro. Many things that we see in our lives is a reflection of that that's going on in our hearts. And so some of the things you said today just really conjured up into me the fact that we really need to know what understanding is. And I'll be the first to admit I don't know, because what I thought information was a misinformation of facts. So, brother, you got, I'll give you a minute to respond to that, and then we'll go to Danny.
I am, thank you, Mark. Understanding. It's not to be confused with thinking we know everything, because we don't. It's a word that speaks to conceptualization. The truth is here. We do not create it. We discover it. We see this in a word I've created neologistically called bionematic, meaning man's spirit or physical spirit. We can learn in our physical truth how to read an eternal or spiritual reality. And God gifts us, as he matriculates, or as God matriculates through its creation, what we can see is that we are continuing to discover aspects of who we are in time sequence. The older we get as a race of people, we become more clear and more even expeditious in our ability to create with intention. We used to live in a world where we thought God was mystery and mystical. We ascribe mystical ideas to God. The wind was mystical. It was mysterious. But now we're understanding what freedom is. Freedom is not necessarily the ability to do what we want, but freedom is more explored when we understand what's true and then learn how to use that truth to create possibilities. We see this aerodynamically. There would have been a time in human history where we would have said that it was witchcraft and sorcery to fly through the air. But all we had to learn was of a truth of physics and geometry that gave us the ability to shape ourselves in the context of the wind. What manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? That's how they thought it. That's how they read it. But we can be on a ship right now, a sailboat, and the winds will blow where they want to. But if I'm a master of my sails, I know how to move my sails in a way to still navigate my course. That's freedom. It's an unthreatened existence. We are learning about our sovereignty. We're learning about our deity in a way that we have never had public permission to do it. There are more people now than there ever have been encouraging each of us to step into this place of shamelessness and nakedness, where we no longer chagrin from the notion that we are actually in the image or are the image of God. But we're understanding this conceptually, and we're increasing in our understanding. And we're letting go. We're letting go. We're letting go. But there is no God beyond us. When you speak of God, you speak of yourself in the third person.
Thank you, Marcus.